It's Monday. We're back, Michael Goudeau.
Yeah.
We are back. This is Penn Jillette on the Big Free FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366. You can also write to PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Sitting here with Michael Goudeau, the juggler of the Lance Burton Show. And we're just two jugglers talking about whatever we happens to pop up on our radar. I got a lot to talk about, but first I want to set the topic. That's an important thing in radio. And then I'll give, then people can call up and we'll have some calls there and we can decide on it. But first I want to, I have a lot of little things to do while you're waiting to call. Front page of the New York Times today, kind of everywhere. There is a turning, or there's the duty to retreat law is turning around. It's, they're trying it out in Florida. 1921 ruling said that you, the Supreme Court said that you couldn't have a duty to retreat law. These laws say, and it's most amazing in California, where if someone pulls a gun on you and you're in danger, your duty is to retreat, no matter what. And there was one guy, and I don't remember the details on this, but there was one guy who was running away from a nut in his house. And finally, the nut chased him into his cellar, and he the guy was coming at him with a weapon, and he shot him and killed him. And the court said that he could have crawled out the top of the basement window, turned his back to the guy and crawled out. So he didn't have a right. It was not self-defense. But Nevada has had pretty I believe this maybe still may not be true anymore. But when I saw this 5 or 6 years ago, a woman had never been prosecuted for murder if she shot a guy in her property. That had never happened in Nevada. So women are allowed to pop guys in their property, which seems to me fair. But now Florida is doing this this whole thing. First enacted in Florida last year, the Stand Your Ground bills are now being considered in 21 states, including Georgia. That's because we have a this is a Georgia article. According to the National Rifle Association and the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, the South Dakota Senate approved one just last week. These new measures would push the boundaries beyond the self-defense measures already on the books. 12 states already allow citizens to shoot intruders in their home, and 38 states permit concealed weapons in public places. The Stand Your Ground laws would allow people to defend themselves with deadly force, even in public places, when they perceive a life-threatening situation for themselves or others, and they would not be held accountable in criminal or civil court, even if bystanders are injured. So you're talking about people defending themselves, and I'm conflicted about this because I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I'm a big fan of people having freedom and no prior restraint. But also, as you know, Michael Goudeau, I've never hit anybody in my life in anger. And I have had a gun pulled on me, and if I had a gun, I don't think I would have shot the guy. I don't think I'm that kind of guy. But I want other people to be that kind of guy. I want to be in a Starbucks, and I want everybody there to be armed except me. Because I don't like to carry things. And then someone comes in and does something, they all pull the guns, happiness all over. But these laws are going to go through. The country's tide seems to be changing somewhat. Of course, it's not in California, but it's going around. 866-570-PEN, P-E-N-N, which if you haven't got letters on your phone, is 7366. 866-570-7366. PennRadio@gmail.com if you got something to type. And PennRadio.com is our website. While we're waiting for the phone calls to come in, and while we're keeping people on hold and trying not to be too rude, I want to talk about Melvin Gibstein. Because
excuse me,
Melvin Gibstein. He reached out to the Jewish leaders of the world,
right,
and said, "What could he do?" And I believe the Jewish people, having a tradition of a sense of humor, should insist that he change his name to legally to Melvin Gibstein. The Passion of the Christ by Melvin Gibstein makes me crazy that people are thinking that this drunkenness shows that he's anti-Semitic. I think The Passion of the Christ showed that very, very clearly, and gave examples of why. So Melvin Gibstein, I think from now on, please, people, anybody within the range of my voice, please start calling him Melvin Gibstein. Nothing is funny. I also want to say, he talks about battling this disease. Bone cancer, leukemia, those are diseases. Those pictures of him with a couple of women with his arms around them, smiling his head off and grabbing at him, not a disease, not in my booklet. And Melvin Gibstein ran, and that's all I care about. All I love about that is he ran. They cuffed him. They didn't cuff him. They took him over and they said, you know, Mr. Gibstein, we do not want to show you disrespect. We're not going to cuff you. Just get into the back of the car. And he ran. And he ran. And while he's running, this drunken Aussie fool, anti-Semitic, while he's running, what is he thinking? He's thinking, I'm Riggs. I outran a car and leaked a weapon. I outran Gary Busey, who's a fat guy. I can run. I can run. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? First, I'm going to change my name. Then I'll get plastic surgery. I'm going to get free, free. Melvin Gibstein, my idol. I'm still on MySpace. I'm still on MySpace. And I have like 300 or 350 friends, and I try to look at them, but I'm scared to death of the pictures, because I'll see like a really sexy picture someone sends me, like a really attractive picture, and I'll click on it, and it'll say, you know, Betty da-da-da-da, 15, Grand Rapids. I go, ah! And then I just get rid of all the history on my computer, everything. I just, ah, ah, ah. So I would like there to be a MySpace that no one is allowed in under 25, and they send federal authorities to make sure. Check the age. I mean, even...
Federal authorities?
Yeah. Maybe they even have to have people that cut off the finger and count the rings. I want to make sure that they know how old these people are, so you're able to lust at them with impunity. I want to lust with impunity. That's a tattoo I want to get. Ben Gillette, he lusts with impunity. And we're talking about this self-defense law. The phones are coming in, but anybody that wants to talk about this comes into the Second Amendment. This comes into the Second Amendment. It comes into all this stuff. Should you be able to protect yourself if a guy comes into your house and the guy is going to do bad things to you? Should you be able to pop him?
Yeah. This actually establishes that law-abiding residents and visitors who legally presume the threat may legally presume the threat of bodily harm or death from anyone who breaks into a residence or occupied vehicle.
Yeah.
So if they're in your house or in your car.
Yeah, or in the Starbucks. You can be in a public place. You can be in a public place. If you're in doubt, go ahead and shoot, is what the spokesman for the Brady campaign is saying, you know, to say it's bad. It's an anathema to our peace and calm in our communities. Currently, Florida's new law is being tested for the first time. In Tampa, a tow truck operator who shot and killed a man he said was trying to run him over used the Stand Your Ground law as a defense. The district attorney is evaluating other forensic evidence and eyewitness testimony that the shots came from behind. Ah, yeah. Therefore, not in self-defense.
Behind the truck?
Yeah. To be sure, the law is challenging the notion of duty to retreat from attack upheld by many Supreme Courts. Okay, so do you have to retreat? What would you do? And I think that I would retreat like a freak. I would run away. I do not want to have to think about having killed somebody. But then again, you know, I have a family now. So I think I would let myself be punched for a good long time. I've been hit in my adult life. I've been hit, I think, 3 times, and always by Christians and always after the show, which is really funny, and always by women. Women will come up after the show and say, you know, do you believe in God? And I'll say, no, ma'am. I don't. Boom! And they just hit me right in the face. And I've been hit, and so security comes over. So I have security with, like, you know, a woman punching me in the face. They're always drunk, and they always say that their pastor says there's no such thing as atheists, and I've been hit. But I would never pull a gun on one of them if anybody was looking. I mean, never, ever. I would. That's outside of my morality. Melvin Gibstein. There's another movie coming out. There's this movie out about the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And we saw a preview. I'm not going to see it. I mean, because I made a pact with myself that I'd seen my last Oliver Stone movie.
Right.
After JFK, I was done. I don't need to have the guy who made JFK. I don't need him making a movie about 9/11. But I was with my wife seeing the previews. We were seeing another movie, like the Woody Allen movie or something. And the slogan came on. The world saw evil that day. Two men saw something else, my wife said, a paycheck. So that is the cynical point of view on whatever that movie's called. The world saw evil that day. Two men saw something else, a paycheck. So that's the movie. And I guess, what is it? What's his name? Who's in it? The star? The guy... Nick Cage with the mustache. It looks like his composite picture.
He's been coming to our show a lot lately.
Has he?
Yeah.
Nick Cage?
Nick Cage has been in a couple times in the last
really?
Month. Yeah.
Really? Is he dressed as a cop?
No, not yet. I think he's dressed as a magician. I think he's on to his next role.
Oh, he's doing a magician movie?
I think he's doing a magician movie.
Yeah, okay.
That's my suspicion.
That's your suspicion. And you want to go... And Well, we can't talk about this on the air, I guess. But in the new movie coming out with Hugh Jackman...
Yes.
He's giving away one of Lance's tricks in the preview. Has Lance mentioned that yet?
No, he hasn't.
Okay, well, that'll come up one of these days. One of these days. Let's take a phone call on this. We'll get back to this this whole thing. Well, I just want to say, you know, the composite pictures, you know, they have of actors.
Yeah.
They have pictures of them in different roles. Man, does Nick Cage look like, you know, I'm a cop. Cop, not a cop. Here I am a villain. Here I am a cop. Cop. I'm a cop, cop, cop. Cop, yeah.
He looks like the cop in The Village People.
I know, he really does. He looks exactly like the cop in The Village People. The world saw evil that day. Two men saw something else. A reason to dress up like one of the Village People. Let's talk to John, shall we?
Sure, why not?
What's up, John?
Ken, how you doing?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
I just want to say, how about you talking about the right to defend yourself? Mm-hmm. How about around? If somebody was breaking into my home, mm-hmm. I would do anything to protect myself and my family or whoever's with me. I mean, I don't think it's wrong if I hurt that guy who broke into my house, I get in trouble for it.
Yeah, do you have a gun in your house?
No, I do not.
Well, good, we'll be over tonight.
No, but I just want to tell you something real quick. A couple years ago, out here on Long Island, there was a woman, pregnant woman, 8 months, and a burglar broke into her house, and he was armed. The neighbor heard her scream and came over and shot the guy, killed him,
mm-hmm.
and that dude went to jail for it. For protecting a pregnant woman.
The guy who shot, yeah. Well, that's what this law, that's what they're trying to do with this law, is to change that, to make it so in defending somebody, you can use deadly force. He actually got time for what, a manslaughter or something?
Something like that. But, I mean, you don't have the time to distinguish if he's got a knife or a gun in his pocket. You don't know. So, like, I think acting on instinct is the most natural thing, and mm-hmm. you shouldn't be punished for acting on your instinct and protecting yourself.
So if someone broke into your house, you don't have a weapon. What are you going to use?
I have swords and a baseball bat.
Wait, baseball bat, we understand.
Swords?
Swords? What are you talking
about? Oh, yeah, I've got two katanas, one of the Lord of the Rings swords, and a wooden training sword. A Gandalf sword.
So you're gonna spend time gluing little pieces of crepe paper on your toes so you have hairy toes and then attack them like a hobbit?
No, not at all. I'm just going to grab it because it's right next to my bed. And if I hear someone in, I'm coming down, and I'm coming down crazy.
And you're thinking that if you come running downstairs, I assume, I don't know why, but I assume you sleep nude.
I'm going to lunge at him. I'm going to lunge at him before he even knows
if
what's
you
coming.
Come running downstairs nude with a Lord of the Rings sword and lunge at him, you think he's going to die laughing? Is that your point?
Well,
how tall
not
are
naked,
you?
But
how tall are you?
6'2".
6'2", okay. So a very, very large hobbit with a sword from a movie, just, you know, just hanging out there all pink and naked, running at him with a sword. Okay.
Do you have a battle cry picked out?
Yeah, what's your battle cry? Okay, man. Well, we'll stay away from your house in Long Island if we're breaking and entering.
All right, Penn. Yo, thank you so much, man. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, John. Let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Penn?
Never better, boss. How you doing, man?
All right, thanks. Listen, you know, I thought this for a while, that the real simple answer is get rid of all the guns and have people take martial arts lessons. I take martial arts, and I feel like I could defend myself, and I really truly believe that I would not be able to hurt somebody if I was being the aggressor. You know, so I think that's really the safest way to go.
Martial arts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always have wondered, but, I mean, you don't think. We cannot even eliminate drugs and guns from inside prisons. We're not going to be able to do it people in prison kill each other. You can't stop that. And the government cannot take away that stuff with prior restraint. You're not going to get rid of all the guns. Guns are already illegal to use in crimes, and they're still not gone. So that's not going to happen. And I don't know how often. I mean, I know that Elvis Presley carried around his little certificate that he had beaten up you know, three guys with his martial arts stuff. But how many crimes, are there any figures on how many crimes are really stopped by martial arts? Because I see martial arts as essentially a club that you join to meet people and get some exercise. You think it actually is self-defense?
I know about a half a dozen ways to kill somebody in less than a second.
Well, just tell us three.
Well,
a gun, a knife,
a ball.
If you would like to know, easiest way to do it, would you like to know?
Mm. Yeah, because Goodell's getting on my nerves.
The easiest way is to place...
Cash, give him cash.
Come here, Goodell.
Behind their trachea and rip it out.
Place what? Your finger? Lean in here, Goodell.
Yeah.
Fingers behind the trachea?
Ow.
It has to go all the way behind the throat and touch. You have to be able to touch your fingers behind their throat.
Now, when you're doing this to the person, what are they doing? Kicking you in the nuts.
Air. Trying to gasp for air and fall. I've had this done to me, just not the throat ripped out part.
But I mean, when...
It hurts a lot, and you really, your body, you lose control of your body. You drop to your knees and try to gasp for air.
Have you ever tried to kill anything? Like, I mean, like a rabbit or a squirrel or anything with your bare hands?
I can't.
Me neither. But if you did, it's a really hard thing to do. Once you try to kill something, even like if you're trying to kill the Gandhi of guinea pigs, once it senses you're actually trying to kill it, it goes bug nutty. Once you grab someone's trachea, before your fingers touch, they're going to be kicking, hitting, biting, anything they can do.
Well, that's why you have to do it quickly.
Okay, but I'm just not convinced that martial arts can protect everything. I want to take another call. Let me talk to Tony here. Yeah, Tony, what's up, man?
Yeah, love the show, but this kid with martial arts must be dreaming. We're not going to get rid of guns, and honestly, I don't know what sort of chop fui he knows. I have a little bit of training, but someone with a Glock will quickly take care of that any day.
And what about this reaching behind the trachea and ripping it out thing, Tony?
Oh, yeah, that really sounds beautiful as I'm standing 10 feet away with my Glock 27. He can try to reach, but he'd have a .40 caliber in his chest, probably.
Yeah.
The stand and defend yourself law sounds silly for the public, but there's lots of people out there with training, law enforcement, not necessarily police, and ex-military who would really do some good to have that around and would unshackle their hands. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean guys carrying, going in stores looking for stuff, but if you carry and something happens, it's nice to know that there's a law there that covers you when you're basically trying to protect yourself or trying to protect
Well, that's what I want. I want the bad guys to not know who has weapons. I want them to come in to shoot up a Starbucks, and, you know, maybe I'm there, but maybe there also might be a guy who was in the military or some sort of law enforcement who might be carrying. That's the guy I want. I don't want everybody carrying guns, but I want the right people to, and most important, I don't want them, the bad guys, to know who they are. So thanks a lot, Tony. I'm going to cut you off because we're going to go to a commercial right now. We're back after this. We're talking about Stand Your Ground, 866-570-PEN-7366. Melvin Gibstein. The world saw evil that day. Two men saw something else. A monkey. this brings us up to the fact that... this is Penn Jillette on Free FM talking to Michael Goodell.
Why not?
How's your trachea doing?
It's all right.
I could reach behind it with my hand and kill you.
A little tickle still.
You're one second away from death.
I am.
At all times, because now I know the secret. At all times. He said a half second, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right now, you're a half second away from death. Just this
is a very wide desk. There are a lot of computers in the way. I don't think you can get me in half a second. I think I'm 12 seconds from death.
A little bit of chasing you around the room first.
A lot of chasing.
A lot
first.
Of chasing you around the room first. That's the slogan for the twin. You know, two men saw something else, a monkey. And that brings us up to the fact that tomorrow should be, by all rights, Monkey Tuesday. And I know because I'm on my MySpace account. And if there's a sexy picture of you you'd like to send to me, I would love that. But please send a photocopy of your driver's license showing your age first, please. Then send me all the dirty pictures you want. I want a photocopy. Just you know, what couldn't be doctored. Like, I want to, like, really be very, maybe a piece of your finger with the rings counted or something. But tomorrow, by all rights, should be Monkey Tuesday. Tomorrow, I don't even know how to build this up enough. I am the boy who cried wolf. I have been so excited about so many shows that we've done that I don't know what the words are to be as excited enough for tomorrow. It is possible. It is likely. Likely. Is that correct?
Likely.
It is likely that we will have on tomorrow Dr. Norman Borlaug. He'll be on by phone. He's going to see his doctor today. He's 92 years old. And if all is checked out and he doesn't have to have anything done tomorrow. They clear him for radio. He'll be on the show tomorrow. Dr. Norman Borlaug, do a search right now. That's Borlaug, B-O-R-L-A-U-G. Do a search. He is one of the ones that yelled the 1-2-3-4 that kicked off the Green Revolution. He is one of the men responsible for dwarf wheat. And it is estimated that he saved the lives of 1 billion people. He's 92 years old. He's still working on saving lives from hunger. It was thought in the 70s that it was impossible for India to ever feed itself. With the help of Norman Borlaug and some other men, India became self-sufficient of cereals in the 70s. And Norman Borlaug is, I think, the greatest man alive. I can talk about the idols that I have. You know, I can talk about Bob Dylan. I can talk about Richard Dawkins as being heroes. But, you know, a lot of us are sad about the state of the world. And Norman Borlaug saved 1 billion people. That's billion with a B. Sagan, billion. 1 billion people. And my good friend Michael Goodell had something to say about the hero-ness of Norman Borlaug. What did you say, Goodell? You don't remember what you said?
What was it?
He said, if there were a Superman, his hero would be Norman Borlaug. He may be on the show tomorrow, very likely. And if not, of course, it'll be Monkey Tuesday. So you really can't
he'll
lose.
He'll be on without Leon.
Yeah, he'll be on with Leon, who wrote the book about him. There's a book called Man Who Fed the World. That'll be coming out soon, and they may the author and the subject may be on the show tomorrow. Let's take a phone call back on this. We're back on the subject of this not back down law, the fact you can shoot someone in your house. We're going to talk to Jerry. How you doing, Jerry?
Good. How are you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
I just wanted to make a comment. I actually used to be a criminal defense lawyer in Georgia, and
used to be. What do you do now?
Well, I switched to the dark side. I do civil now.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Georgia has some of the most liberal gun laws that I practice in a bunch of states, and Georgia has some pretty liberal gun laws. And about 10 years ago or so, they changed their law to say that not only could you defend your home if somebody were to break in by using deadly force, but they said that you could also use deadly force to protect your car, your vehicle. Mm-hmm. It was in response to a lot of carjackings that were going on.
Yeah.
So I think I was one of the first cases to actually put this law to the test. I had a client who was going out to his car early in the morning. Apparently he hadn't paid off part of his car payment. And a repo man was coming to collect his car. This was about 4 o'clock in the morning.
So we're picturing Harry Dean Stanton, we all are now.
Exactly. So he happened to have a gun on him at the time, and as the repo man is coming towards him to hop in the car, he pulls out his gun and starts firing away. Mm-hmm. Luckily, he was a bad shot. he calls the police to report in the theft of his car. At the same time, the repo man is reporting that someone is shooting at him and reporting in the repossession itself.
Uh-huh.
Prosecutors say, no, you can't use deadly force. We put the law to the test. Jury came back and said, you know, we don't like the fact that he was shooting at his repo man, but we do find that you know, he was well within his right to use deadly force to protect himself and his property being the vehicle.
How badly did he hit the guy at all?
No, the only damage he did was to his own car.
Or what used to be his car.
Yeah, it used to be his car.
But now you think that it would have certainly gone a different way had he injured or killed the repo man, right?
Oh, there's no question. And the
Uh-oh.
Was that you?
No, I didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything?
We lost everybody, including Jerry.
We lost everybody. Well, what Jerry was going to say. Well, Jerry was going
to
say.
What he intended to say.
what he tried to say. What he was trying to say. Maybe he'll call back. 866-570-PEN. 866-570-PEN. 7366. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com. It's great that Jerry called because he practiced in Georgia. And the article that we have here from the Christian Science Monitor is written about Atlanta and about Georgia and about being able to stand your ground.
We have a good Gmail here from David.
Okay, lay it on.
He writes us pretty often, actually. About a year ago, there was a case here in Illinois where a man's home was broken into and robbed while he was out. The same intruder broke into the house again the next night, and the homeowner was armed and waiting. He shot the intruder and was subsequently charged with attempted murder. Public outcry ensued, and the charges were quietly dismissed.
Oh, really? He shot him dead?
Didn't shoot him dead, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Attempted murder.
Oh, yeah. Attempted murder. But I guess murder almost always includes attempted murder, right?
You think? You know, there were some kids throwing eggs at my car the other night. I should have jumped with a gun.
They were throwing eggs at your car?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I was driving home in the middle of the night.
They just...
chucked eggs. Yeah. It was Anthony Gatto. It was another juggler.
Really bad jugglers. Missing with eggs and hitting by Gatto. The calls are flying up here again. Let's talk to Dean, sure. Shall we? What's up, Dean?
Hey, I'm just calling about the martial arts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've studied martial arts for like 19 years, and most of the people... There's this one guy, actually, he's suing a bunch of people I know. He claimed he could control the weather with his martial arts and run 70 miles, and he weighs 400 pounds. So, yeah. So basically, you know, if you want to take martial arts, it's pretty hard to find something real that's not just little kids spinning in the air doing kicks.
Do you have any? Do you have any tips for finding a real martial arts teacher?
You know, just take the class, see if it's something that you think is real. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a bunch of people punching air, jumping around.
Now, do you believe, after 19 years of taking martial arts, do you believe that you are much, much safer in any situation than you were before? Or is it mostly exercise and social for you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if someone pulls a gun on you, just do what they say. And if it comes to it, you know, just use whatever you can to just get out of there safe.
Sure.
Yeah, and... my sisters used to train with the Great Adventure High Dive Team, and my dad was with the dolphin trainers, so, you know, I'll pass it on that you didn't kill that dolphin.
Okay, good.
Time.
Please do. Thank you so much. And I also want to know, could you rip out my trachea?
You know, you could rip out someone's trachea, but it's not, like, as easy as the guy says.
I think it's really hard. I mean, it's hard to get those little pieces out of a chicken.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Like reaching into flesh is a difficult thing. I don't know about pulling out someone's trachea. Yes, please tell the Great Adventure people I did not kill the goddamn dolphin. Thanks so much for calling, man.
I had to flush down a toilet, and it was really hard just to kill fish. I don't know why. Just doing it yourself, it was pretty rough.
No, but I wasn't talking about the psychological parts.
All right.
But the actual physical parts, you know? I know someone who, like, you know, tried to drown a rabbit because it had, like, cancer or something. And the rabbit, I mean...
I've heard this story.
Things go crazy when you try to kill them. They go absolutely nuts. And I think that a person, you know, even a guy... I mean, if you've got a guy who's attacking you, he's already a mean guy. You reach for his trachea, I think he's gonna kick the tar out of you. Is he gonna do that? He's a bad guy. We're gonna take a little break. 866-570-PEN 7366 PENradio@gmail.com PENradio.com. The world saw evil that day. Two men saw something else. Fill in the blank. Penn Jillette, here at the big CBS FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I love you guys. I really love you guys and listening. You guys are great. We just got a picture sent to us You want to credit it?
This is from Steve.
Steve?
Yeah.
Fabulous picture of Melvin Gibstein. They've taken a picture of the artist now known as Melvin Gibstein when he had the big beard when he was done the directing, and he has added Photoshop payas, you know, the long hair on the side of the head there, the long payas and that hat that they wear at 47th Street Photo. So he now looks like a full Yama Orthodox Jew. Melvin Gibstein, please, I'm begging you. If you've ever done one thing for me in your life, and why would you, don't ever use the Road Warrior actor's name again. Only say Melvin Gibstein, please. Always, everywhere, all the time, without exception. Melvin Gibstein, please. I want to read this one Gmail because it's from Shelby, who always addresses it to Sexy Pen and Sexy Mike, so she gets to say whatever she wants. I think it is a reasonable assumption for an assailant to know that if you're going to legally break into someone's home and take their stuff, that there is a chance if you get caught, you'll be punished for it. They take that risk for putting the homeowner in danger. It's just bulls hit to assume that an assailant has the right to argue rights against the person they wronged. You shot me in the foot because I was breaking into your house. How dare you? Come on. The best way for a thief to avoid injury is to, I don't know, stop stealing. That's what they have to say. And I only read that because she addressed it Sexy Pen and Sexy Mike. Well, this next one says, "Hey, you sexy men." So I read that too. But I want to talk to Chuck, please. Let's talk to Chuck. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, man, how are you today?
How you doing, man? Real well.
Good. Yeah, I saw that trachea maneuver in the martial arts performed by Patrick Swayze in the movie Roadhouse.
Is that where it's done? Is that where it is?
Yeah, that's where I saw it done in one. Yeah,
okay. Well, thanks. I don't think, you know, I just don't think, thank you so much, Chuck. You know, I don't think that you could do that. Do you get a...
I doubt it.
I mean, the strength of your hands, I mean, to reach into, we need to get a cadaver. If someone's listening has a cadaver, you can bring it down to the house one of these days. I don't think that people would, I mean, I'm a bass player, right? You're a juggler. You're a rock climber, you know? You've seen guys that do chin-ups by just their fingertips, right?
Yeah. Plenty.
Rock climbers have those really strong hands. And I think that to get... I'm not going to do it on myself. That'd be a great headline. Radio show host kills himself trying to show trachea move. But I think there's just too much muscle, too much bone, too much gristle that you would not have the strength to rip out someone's trachea. I mean, obviously, you're scared, you're frightened, you know, you're jacked up to high heaven, you know, you've got all that adrenaline going. I still don't think you could. There must be some, like, could a doctor or somebody call and tell us about that? Let me talk to, I want to talk to, is it HJ? Is that what it says?
Yep.
HJ. How you doing, HJ?
Great.
What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to let you know, New York State has a part of the penal law called justification. Mm-hmm. And if someone breaks into your house, you don't have to retreat.
In New York, you do not?
You do not. You could use deadly physical force.
Uh-huh.
There's certain other crimes, rape and stuff like that, that you could stop it with the use of deadly physical force. Mm-hmm. So some of these laws already are out there.
Yeah. And what do you think about them?
I think they're great.
Okay. You're a police officer?
I used to be.
Yeah. Do you think that you could rip someone's trachea out with your bare hands?
If I was armed, I wouldn't even try.
That's the only right answer. Thanks a lot, HJ. Let's talk to Sam. I want to talk to Sam.
Hi, how
What's
are
up,
you?
Sam? Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm a martial arts instructor, black belt in combat jiu-jitsu. This guy who's talking about ripping tracheas out, let him do it to chickens. There's only a certain number of ways to kill a person. Basically, you're choking them out, breaking a neck, and that's about it. If they let you, normally you have to get behind them to do that or have them on the ground. I'm a full believer in the continuum use of force. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't bring martial arts to a gunfight.
Uh-huh.
Bring the biggest mother gun you can.
So
like
you
a 45 or larger.
Just to get this very clear, you don't think you could pull someone's trachea out with your bare hands?
No, that's nonsense. You know, that's like key power. This guy's going to stop someone dead in his tracks with his mental telepathy. They teach that, too, in some of these martial arts courses.
No, they don't.
Oh, you would not believe the nonsense that
you just
goes
saw
on.
That. I did not
and
believe
the,
it.
And the shenanigans.
Really?
And the hocus pocus in martial arts.
Yeah, man.
Go to any Aikido class and watch these people dancing around under the assumption that they're learning self-defense.
Huh, yeah, I guess so.
They're ballet dancing.
I've always had this sense that that most martial arts classes were some form of bull's hit, but I didn't really know. Maybe we should do a show on that. You know, I've suggested that a few times in the martial arts.
Well, I'd be happy to have your producer take my private number, my business number, and I'd be happy to come on sometime.
Yeah, put him on hold or something, and let's talk.
I know how to do that.
90% of martial arts that's taught in the U.S. today is utter nonsense. It may not even be good exercise, but it's certainly not self-defense.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much. We're going to get your number, and maybe we'll use you on one of the Showtime shows one of these days. Let's talk to John. What's up, John?
Hey, Ben. Great show, man.
Thanks a lot, man. What's up?
Well, first off, got to agree with that last caller about the martial arts. I'll tell you, I took a minimal amount of martial arts training to the point where I walked out after seeing a 13-year-old white belt break a 30-year-old triple brown belt's nose in his first sparring contest. So I'd agree with him that most, if not, you know, a lot of it is a little hokey there.
Uh-huh.
And definitely agree with you. You know, firm supporter of the Second Amendment rights. Don't actually keep a gun in my home yet. Just applied for one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as far as these, as far as self-defense out in public, I just think that if they put this into effect, they open up a whole lot of gray area out there. And
sure,
you know, if they do it, it's got to be so specifically defined as to what is a threat and, you know, to your life, what is not. I think in the home, it's a little different. Anybody comes knocking, you know, kicking in the door in the middle of the night, robbing your house. I think that's pretty clearly defined there. But out in public, I think that's opening up a whole lot of gray area. I think we're going to find out if this ever comes to be, you know, what's acceptable and what's not, unfortunately, after the fact, you know, in their hearing.
Well, that's the only way laws are made. The question I have for you, John, is do you think you could rip out Michael Godot's trachea with your bare hand?
I could certainly give it a shot. I'll try anything at least once.
Okay. Thanks so much, John. Thank you. You know, a lot of people are willing to give a shot at ripping out your trachea.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's nice to step forward.
What's our guy's name here in town, our buddy that was a coroner?
Oh, Gene.
He must know something about how, I mean, there must be times as a coroner when you're alone there with the body and you just say to you, I don't think I should go any further on this at all. Obviously, choose my words very carefully. You're alone with a dead body. There's no cameras on. There's nothing. And you just go, wonder if I could rip out a trachea. And then you just go, yeah! And just see if you could. Yeah. The coroners wouldn't do that, would they? What else would coroners do? I mean, you know that when you die, there's some time spent by the undertaker showing disrespect for you, right?
Of course.
Okay. It has to be that. That's part of what the religious people call hell, is them mucking with you. But I would think that, I mean, someone's tried that on a corpse, right?
Yeah.
Someone's had a dead guy and said, I wonder if I could rip out the trachea.
Right.
Why aren't they on our phones? Why aren't they calling? Why isn't there a doctor? We have a lot of martial arts people. Let's talk to Eddie.
Okay.
Hey, Eddie, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good. I'm from New York State, and I own a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a permitted gun holder, a concealed carry business premise holder.
And do you carry all the time?
Nope, not generally. Only when I'm working. I know we're going to have a lot of cash on the premise. I probably should, but I don't.
What do you feel about this whole thing, self-defense and so on?
I think if somebody's – it's all about – choice and consequence. Like, me and my wife choose to put in long hours and sacrifice and have a nice house and do the things we do.
Uh-huh.
And that's the consequences. We put in the long hours. If you choose to break in my house or try to rob me leaving my business or at my business, the consequence might be that I kill you.
Okay, so you're saying essentially you want one of the occupational hazards of being a thief that you might get shot.
Exactly.
Like, if you're an astronaut, the shuttle might blow up, right? If
you might burn it.
Yeah, you might do that. And if you're a thief, you just look at when you're making your career choices and you're going through your aptitudes, one of the choices you say is thief, and you say, you know, upside, lots of TVs in my home, you know.
Exactly.
Upside, get to wear cool fashions at night. Upside, pick my own hours. Downside, might get shot. Have to sell things for much less than they're worth, right? Those are the,
exactly.
You just kind of weigh it out. Yeah, I think that a lot of people are making that point, and I do think that you can't have people just count on the state to protect them. There has to be some responsibility. And when I say responsibility, I don't mean my own responsibility. I mean someone else who knows what they're doing that's nearby. I'd be very happy to be in your restaurant when you have a gun. I don't want to have one myself because I hate to carry things. But thank you so much, Eddie. Thanks so much. I think we kind of hung up on him, can't we?
I'm sorry. You said thanks.
I said thanks. He had something else to say. Don't cut him off the middle of the word. He has a gun. You're cutting him off the middle of the word, and he has a goddamn gun.
What do you think the range is on it? He's in New York.
Okay, let's talk to Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? I'm a massage therapist. And
you're what?
I've worked on the human body for a long time.
You're a what? A massage therapist?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Go.
And,
executive release? Never mind. Go ahead.
No, there's no happy endings with my massage, sorry. But I think it's impossible for a human to actually rip out a section of somebody else's trachea. There's far too many sinewy, you know, tendons and muscles in there for it to get pulled completely out. You could crush it, no doubt about that. But to physically remove a section with your hand, I think would probably be, you know, on the magnitude of, you know, impossible.
Much. I mean, I think what you're saying is true. What concerns me is how you got the information. What part of massage therapy involves putting your fingers around someone's trachea and trying to touch them behind the trachea?
Well, it has a
That's
lot more
deep
to do
massage.
With the training that
That's
I went
wolfing,
through as far as, you know, human physiology.
Yeah. But if you
I have no actual experience in wrapping my hands to the back of someone's trachea. You'd have to talk to someone who is into rolfing for that.
Yeah, I said rolfing. Sounds like rolfing. But
collecting the
and
bill.
And as far as shooting, as far as hurting somebody breaking into my house, you pegged it right on the nose. Occupational hazard, definitely.
Occupational
hazard of being a thief is, you know,
someone might pop
off to the point of getting shot.
Someone might pop you.
And gotta remember, if you are shooting someone breaking into your house and you kill them, make sure you pull their body fully onto your property.
Right. Don't
have to be fully in your house for the cops to look the other way. If they're halfway out or trying to run away, drag them back in through the broken window.
Wonderful advice. Thank you so much. Thank you so
sure.
much, Jeff. I want to remind everybody very seriously that tomorrow might be a Monkey Tuesday. But if we get really lucky, we're going to do a full hour with Norman Borlaug and Leon Hesser, who have a book coming out called The Man Who Fed the World, which is about Norman Borlaug and the Green Revolution, which started up in the 60s and ended up feeding about a billion people. And certainly many hundreds of thousands, hundreds of millions, but maybe a billion. What are you laughing at me?
Well, yeah.
I'll rip your trachea out so fast.
You got to catch me first.
hundreds of millions of people that Norman fed and helped to feed with his dwarf wheat and the other stuff he did. And we'd like to talk about all that. I'm going to be honored. I'm going to be trembling. I hope he shows up tomorrow. I think it's very likely. So listen in tomorrow. We will most likely have Norman Borlaug. If we don't, still buy the book, The Man Who Fed the World. And if anybody does rip a trachea out of someone else, please put me on speed dialing. Would you do that for me? Thanks.